But there were other colleges within driving distance that I could have gone to. And I chose Adrian because there was a professor there, Miles Peel. That's P-E-E-L-L-E, who was really known for his good biology courses and his interest in biology. And he was known as a very excellent teacher. And so that's why, mainly why I went there. And so I guess you might say he was my first mentor in biology, really.
Okay.
And it was a very good experience going there. But at the time I graduated, I still wasn't sure what I wanted to do. In fact, I really had it in my mind that, well, I didn't really have it in my mind for sure at that time. I just didn't know what I wanted to do. And so I volunteered for the draft to get in the Army. I wanted to get the GI Bill. I knew I wanted to go on to school in some way to advance for advanced work, but I wasn't sure in what area.
Mm-hmm.
So I spent 2 years in the Army, and during that time, I actually decided that with my interest in farms and my interest in biology, that what I'd like to do is be a veterinarian. So I corresponded around while I was in the Army in Germany, and found out that I could get I could, of course, go to Michigan State, which was the only choice. If you lived in Michigan, you wanted to be a veterinarian. It's like being in Georgia. Your only choice is here is University of Georgia, because it's the only school in the state in Michigan at the time, and still is, as far as I know, the only veterinarian college or school is at Michigan State. So I applied there, and I was told that, well, I had excellent grades and all that, but I hadn't taken a one-hour course in parliamentary procedure. And this was some dodge that they used to exclude everybody but the students at Michigan State, at least the first year, which basically, if you wanted to go to vet school, you had to come there, spend a year, take this course, and then apply.
And then they'd let you into the vet school?
Well, that gave them a chance, of course, to evaluate you in terms of Michigan State's grades and so on. So it was just a ploy to weed out people who may have good grades in colleges that maybe weren't as good as they should be.
Up to par maybe with Michigan State.
I don't know. Anyway, for whatever reason, I couldn't get in right from the Army, so I had to find some other means of support. GI Bill wasn't enough to support. By then I was married. Wasn't enough to support both myself and my wife, even though she was going to teach. We still wanted to have a better base of support. So I got a TA in zoology through Miles Peel. Actually, he interceded for me to get a TA in zoology because he knew the ornithologist at Michigan State. Peel's real specialty was ornithology, and that's what I was kind of interested in too, so I took some graduate courses there. So I started doing a master's degree in zoology and took my one-hour course in parliamentary procedure, which I would recommend for every university administrator if they ever had any administrative duty. Subsequently, I found out people just don't know how to run meetings. I mean, they really are abysmally ignorant, deans and department heads and so forth, of Robert's Rules of Order, because it was really kind of an interesting course. But anyway, I took that course, and so I still applied then for vet school. And I had an interview, and I was accepted by this board. And in fact, not only was I accepted, the dean wanted to see me afterwards and ask me what my interests were in veterinary medicine, you know. And I said, well, originally, I said, my interest in veterinary medicine stemmed from the fact that I really admired our local vet on our farm and sort of emulated his lifestyle and wanted to get back onto the farms and so forth. But I said, since I've come to Michigan State and I've been pursuing this master's degree and I've gotten kind of into research, I took a minor in physiology, animal physiology at Michigan State that year because I wanted to work on the physiology of meadow voles. So I said, I'd become interested in research, and so really my plans have somewhat changed. What I'd like to do now is get into veterinary research. He said, oh, he said, I'm really glad to hear that because we get too few people going into that field. And he said, no, he said, ideally what you need to do then is get your DVM and then go on and get a PhD. And I went home and I thought about that for a few hours, and I thought, well, why bother? You know, I'm interested in research. I'm interested in ecology. I've been working with Don Hain, who was my major professor for my master's degree, who was a biometrician but also an ecologist. He'd studied with L.R. Dice, who was a famous mammalian ecologist. And so I went back and wrote him a letter the next day, and I said, thanks, but no thanks. I'll just go on and get my master's degree and then go get a PhD in ecology.
So your veterinary career ended there. Right?
My veterinary career ended before it even really began. So, in fact, that's what I did. I finished the master's degree doing work on meadow voles, and asked my major professor, Don Hain, for advice about graduate schools for a PhD, and he suggested Berkeley. At the time, there were big ecology groups, or important ecology groups, I should say, not necessarily as big as we think nowadays. But mm-hmm. Four or five ecologists at one school in those days was a lot.
It
was a big ecology center. So he suggested Berkeley, University of Illinois, and the University of Michigan. And I corresponded with all three people at all three. But I decided that University of Michigan was the place I'd like to go. And so I went down there.
Did that have anything to do with it being in the state, or was it just...
Well, yeah, there was a certain amount of that, because it's only 45 miles from where I grew up, and I still see my parents, and, you know, by... then we were, my wife and I were planning to have a family, and I thought it'd be nice if my parents got to see their grandkids,
right, sure,
and so
sure.
forth and so on. But actually, it was still, I liked it better. Fortunately for me, I didn't have to make a choice between a place that was close to home versus a place I really liked better.
Yeah, right.
I didn't go out to California, but I looked rather carefully into the situation out there, and one of the things, the main ecologist out of California at the time was Dr. Patelka, who was famous as a mammalian ecologist. Uh-huh. Well, I'd just done work for a master's degree on mammals, and I really, there were a number of things about mammals that really bothered me about continuing the work, one of which was the difficulty of censusing the numbers in the population. Mm-hmm. I mean, mammalogists to this day still spend an inordinate amount of their time trying to work out techniques to get a good, accurate handle on how many there are out there. And I really wanted to get on with some other things. I'd become very interested in energetics, because that's what I did with this mammal. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to do population work, and I just didn't want to work with mammals. So that's why I kind of ruled out Berkeley.
So there were a number of reasons that you actually go to Michigan.
And Francis Evans was a person who had worked on mammals and was knowledgeable about mammalian ecology and also birds, but whose main work at the time was centered on insects, and in particular almost ecosystem ecology in an old field. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's subsequently become called the Evans Old Field. Because he and his students and postdocs were the main people that worked out there for a long period of time.
Okay.
And so I went down to the University of Michigan and pursued a doctoral degree in which I worked on the population energetics of an insect, the meadow spittlebug. And I also did on the side a lot of productivity work along with Evans, my major professor, on the productivity of the plant populations out on the Evans Old Field. In fact, rather curious, my original PhD proposal was, in fact, to apply the methods of population dynamics to plant populations, animal population dynamics to plant populations, which nobody at that time was doing. And that's the area that John Harper had just gotten started in, and he subsequently made his reputation in England on this basis as a plant ecologist. But I wasn't permitted to do this entirely because I was in a zoology department, and Dr. Dougal Brown, who was head of the department, who knew nothing about ecology, but who was a cell physiologist, he said, this is a zoology department, you've got to have an animal in the picture. That's why I got the spittlebug in. Right. But I pursued some of the plant work, but not the population dynamics part, just the productivity part. And I guess that's one of the reasons I've always been very, very against this dividing ecology up into botanical, plant ecology, and animal ecology. Right. I really feel that this is a real hindrance rather than a help.
So you prefer to look at it in the whole then?
Yeah, and zoology departments have always been relatively tolerant. This was kind of an exception. Zoology at Georgia, for example, for years. I mean, when I came here, I was in zoology. It wasn't until last August that we formed an ecology unit. So all those years, zoology housed a good portion of the ecologists here, including, for example, Dr. Patton. By the way, he's another person that you ought to add to that.
Okay.
Bernie Patton, who's in this group.
All right.
Because he's a pioneer in systems ecology, developing systems ecology. But anyway, he got his degree in a botanical degree at Rutgers, and zoology was willing to hire him. So it shows you they're pretty broad.
Yeah.
We're pretty broad-minded.
Right.
So anyway, for those reasons, I started working with an insect, and that's what I ended up doing.
To finish your work. Okay. And what year was it that you finished up your
1962.
PhD? 1962. Okay. See, the next question, is there anything else you'd like to say about your education background?
I don't think so, except during the course of my master's degree at Michigan State, my master's degree work, I met Frank Golly, who was finishing up his PhD work there. In fact, my little project with the meadow vole was an offshoot of his PhD research on the energetics of a food chain that involved the meadow vole. We kept in contact, and that's why I got the job at Savannah River Plant, actually. When he was going out there, he called me up and asked me if I wanted to.
So that's what brought you south then,
right,
eventually. Okay. This question's kind of been answered, but what got you interested in ecology specifically?
Well, I think just being interested in plants and animals.
Just your general interest of biology.
Natural history.
Natural history.
Right.
Okay. Okay, so next question is, how long have you been in the field of ecology?
Well, I guess, do you count from when I was formally doing a graduate degree in ecology?
Let's count, yeah, you're formally as like a graduate student scientist.
Well, since
era.
The year I got out of the Army, 1956.
1956, so that's working on
38 years.
38 years,
yeah.
Okay. Now we're going to kind of go off in a different direction. What changes in environmental thought of the general public have occurred during your life?
Well, ecology has become sort of a household word. I mean, there used to be jokes. I can even remember a Blondie cartoon about ecology. I can't even remember how it went, but it was basically to the addressed to the sense that, well, nobody knows what is that word, ecology. You know? I think it was probably Earth Day in 1970, the first Earth Day that really brought the word in front of the general public. But I think it was at least another 15 years before the average person in the street even understood what. They had heard ecology, and they knew it had something to do with the environment, but mainly I think they associated it with, picking up litter and cleaning up tin cans and things like that. It didn't think of it in terms of a scientific discipline.
Okay.
So I'd say the major change in environmental thought during my lifetime has been the more or less general acceptance by the public of ecology as a scientific discipline. I mean, it's certainly far from true that everybody knows about it, but everybody doesn't know about economics even now.
Right. Scary thought. But so you'd say maybe 1970, somewhere like 73, 75, maybe something.
Yeah, I'd say somewhere in there it started to be, the word ecology started to be more common. I'd say it was probably in the 80s before really there was much thought. I think the first thing that happened was Earth Day and the whole Rachel Carlson thing about pesticides, DDT, ruining our environment. You know, that's the first thing that sort of